This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller have the news today, including an agriculture celebration before Purdue football over the weekend. And how big will the corn crop be this year here in the U.S.? We'll investigate that. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says we have more pleasant and low humidity weather today and tomorrow. And Friday, grains and oil seeds gains, but the markets closed yesterday. We have some comments from analyst John Zanker on the HAT Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Celebrating agriculture at Purdue, and how big will this U.S. corn crop be? I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. There was much to celebrate at Purdue's Ross-Ade Stadium Saturday afternoon. In addition to the Boilermakers kicking off the season with a 49-0 win over Indiana State, with an impressive performance by quarterback Hudson Card, who tied the all-time FBS record for completion percentage, completing 24 of 25 passes, that's 96% for those doubting my math skills, for 273 yards and four touchdowns. It was also Purdue Ag Day. The Purdue Ag Alumni Association held their annual tailgate before the game. Hoosier Ag Today was there.
We are thrilled. We have almost doubled the registration from the last 2 years, so we're so excited to have almost 400 people here today.
That's Purdue Ag Alumni Association Executive Director Danica Kirkpatrick, who credits their sponsors for the increase in attendance this year: Keystone Cooperative, Indiana Farm Bureau, and Farm Credit Mid-America. Kirkpatrick says the tailgate is a great billboard for the association, and it brings alumni back to campus so they can remind them about all the other things the association does throughout the year.
It brings people back so that we can remind them that we do homecoming and later in September. And we also have the annual Purdue Ag Alumni Fish Fry. And then there's all kinds of other ways to work with us. So we're actually planning a trip to New Zealand in March, and we have an open opportunity for our alumni to join us on that. And we just have regional events throughout the year, all the time down in Indianapolis or on campus. And we look forward to welcoming people back to campus and through all of our Ag Alumni programs.
If you're a graduate of the Purdue College of Agriculture and you want to get more involved, Kirkpatrick says you can just Google Purdue Ag Alumni Association or find them on social media.
We're on LinkedIn, we're on X, we're on Facebook, and we're on Instagram. So a lot of our activities and programs and highlights of our grants and student programs are also on there. So if you are on social media, you should definitely follow us.
You can find all the links on our website, HoosierAgToday.com. There's no doubt that this year's U.S. corn crop will be big, but will it be as big as USDA's August prediction of 15.2 billion bushels? CJ Miller has more.
There's no doubt that this is a 180 plus crop. There's just, you look around the country, drive the countryside for sure.
And that's Stephen Nicholson with Rabobank. He says he'll be watching for information from a couple of specific areas.
I think the one thing I am going to be watching USDA down the road is what they deal with northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. North of Highway 20, south of I-90, there's a lot of holes in that cornfield, and the farmers will tell you it was a difficult spring. So I would think that the yields potentially could come down a little bit from USDA's August yields.
And given that the December corn contract has been hovering near or below $4 per bushel, Is there enough demand this fall to eventually move the corn price higher?
I think yes. I'm going to say that the low prices are going to fuel on demand. The challenge, of course, is not necessarily demand in the world, but the relationship with China. And that's really what the problem is. And the other issue, of course, is ethanol. Is there growth in ethanol? Likely not. Is it going to go away? No, but it's still going to be there. So I think we have to worry about demand for corn, and I will say long-term for sure.
USDA will release its next projections on the 2024 U.S. corn crop on Thursday, September 12th. I'm CJ Miller.
All right, CJ, thanks. Next week, Wednesday the 11th, the 7th Annual Midwest Mechanical Weed Control Field Day will take place at Purdue's Miggs Horticultural Research Farm in Lafayette. You'll have the opportunity to see weeding tools of all scales and network with farmers across the U.S. and Canada. Find the story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit MidAmerica see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you. But when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Get ready for the 62nd Annual Farm Science Review, September 17th, 18th, and 19th. It's more than a farm show. Explore over 600 exhibitors providing equipment, services, and education for farms of all types and sizes. Tickets can be purchased at participating OSU Extension offices, agribusinesses, and online. fsr.osu.edu to buy your Farm Science Review tickets now and plan your show visit. The 62nd Farm Science Review. View September 17, 18, and 19.
Beautiful weather once again over the Hoosier State. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Another day of low humidity and pleasant weather conditions. High pressure being analyzed here to start the day over southeast of Michigan. It's going to be slowly moving off to the east today. That should give us a little bit more of a south flow, which means temperatures probably a little warmer today than yesterday, but still very, very comfortable overall. Honestly, I'm playing tomorrow the exact same way. A little warmer on temperatures, but humidity values low and very pleasant. We'll start to see humidity creep up a little bit on Thursday. We've got a frontal boundary trying to sneak across the upper Midwest. That front will make its presence known here after midnight Thursday night through Friday. A little bit better potential for moisture now. I think we can end up with about 80% of the Hoosier State seeing at least scattered showers as the front comes through. Moisture's not that impressive. I'm going to say a tenth to maybe three quarters of an inch if you're on the high end of the range. Coverage 80%. We'll see some wraparound backside moisture lingering in northern Indiana probably to start Saturday morning before we see skies clear out. We are significantly cooler this weekend, and as we move forward, we're going to be seeing those cool temperatures linger into the start of next week. Full sunshine through the weekend and through Monday. Now we have another round of moisture trying to show up next Monday night into early Tuesday. Slow sagging frontal boundary, hit and miss scattered showers with that. I think we can put together anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch with coverage at 60% of the Hoosier State, particularly through the day Tuesday. And then we're cooler behind it again for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So we're going to be playing this up and down game with temperatures. Not seeing brutally cold temperatures anywhere, but we are going to definitely start to feel more like September as we move in. But it's also going to be a wide range of temperatures. The cool that comes in after each frontal boundary is going to be backed off with some very, very warm air in between. So south flow warms us dramatically, and then the northern flow cools us down. That's how it's going to operate into mid-September right now. I think the change in air mass will be what continues to bring us some light rains here and there. As you've heard me talk about, the next 10 days, I'm not giddy with large amounts of moisture here, but we're seeing some. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Labor Day markets closed. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Farm Market Review for a Monday. Nothing to review, though, as the markets were closed.
This update is brought to you by the 62nd Annual Farm Science Review, September 17, 18, and 19. Over 600 exhibitors serving farms of all types and sizes. Buy tickets online at fsr.osu.edu. I did check in on Monday with John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities to get some comments from him after some rally action late last week. John Zanker here. Happy Labor Day, John, as we speak on a Monday. No markets to talk about, so let's quickly bounce back to the end of last week. Some higher sessions in a row, corn, soybeans, and wheat. So are we on a roll, or is that a little too emphatic?
Yes, I would call it a little bit too emphatic. Well, here we are going into what could be at the very least, the second largest corn harvest in history, and I think there's a pretty good chance it's going to end up being the largest. Soybeans, probably going to be the largest in history, yield-wise. We've gotten into a dry stretch here in parts of the Corn Belt the last 2 weeks of August, but if you look at the last 7 to 10 days, probably about 70% of the belt has had a half an inch to three quarters of an inch, some places more. And now we're cooling back down. So we had that hot stretch, and we had a little bit of a dry stretch, and contract and long-term lows, and maybe some ideas that maybe we wouldn't see the yields go up anymore. I think that could start wearing off as early as tomorrow. We've had some very early yield reports in a few spots, and they're pretty massive. So, and these are coming from areas that didn't have that perfect growing season. So once we start getting into these crops, Andy, I think we're going to find that the yields are pretty exceptional, especially on corn. Maybe we got hurt a little bit, took the top off by going dry on these soybeans. But again, I've been around the Corn Belt. Went down to southern Indiana last week, best looking crop I've ever seen on that date in southern Indiana. A lot of corn still green top to bottom. Things you just typically don't see at that time of the year, at the end of August. I'm currently at my brother's, 50 miles south of Omaha, and the crop's all the way out across Missouri. Best looking crop I've ever seen in Missouri. Illinois looks great. Indiana looks great. Next weekend, I'll head back across and go back across to I-80. So, again, more corn than I've ever seen green top to bottom at this time of the year tells me there's going to be some pretty special yields. I'm pretty confident that the yield number for corn will go up here late next week. And beans, I just don't know. We'll have to see. We could have finished this crop off a little better. We could have finished these double crops off better, perhaps. There's not much rain in the forecast for the next 2 weeks. So my confidence there is not quite as high on the production side of things.
Well, if all these yields come in, as you're suspecting, and many others, of course, are suspecting they will at this point, that doesn't bode well for the market. But for the moment, 401 on December corn at the close on Friday, right at $10 November beans. So okay with those numbers, given where we've been?
Well, I am, and was doing some selling on Friday. We'll probably look at maybe doing some more. We'll just have to see how things unwind here. There could be some additional follow-through, but, we have a demand problem on the export side with soybeans. We have seen some good numbers recently, but we're way behind, Andy, where we need to be. So we need to see China stay active in the flash sales. But right now, that 1.85 billion export number looks shaky. It's very dry in Brazil. We're getting some support there. Their planting season will start to unfold here soon, but if they don't get any relief in the northern areas, Mato Grosso in particular, you could see some support to that. But we're going to start getting into this crop. We're still way undersold versus where we typically would be at this time of the year. And those are things that have me worried. And you know, $4 futures and $10 futures. I think there's just a lot more exposure to the downside here, Andy, than to the upside.
John Zanker, Market Analysis. John is with Risk Management Commodities. The number there is 866-837-9027. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.